Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, most of our secondary students are finishing up in school this week and looking forward to their summer holidays. But for those sitting the state exams, they'll be mapping out their study schedule for the next few weeks. So as those teenagers try to cram in the last few maths equations and English poetic techniques into their brains, how are they fueling their bodies? Are they shoveling in a diet of convenience foods and sugary, caffeine-laden soft drinks? And what alternatives can parents offer them? Well, Louise Reynolds is here now, dietitian with the Irish Nutrition and Dietetic Institute. You're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire.
It's a tricky time, isn't it?
It is. And of course, we have the exam weather as well now. So all of those students sitting in, studying and looking out at the nice weather. But look, it's. I think as parents, anybody who's listening who has an exam student in the house, I have one myself next week. And, you know, really, we can't sit the exams for them. We all remember our own experiences. It is a stressful time. But nutrition is important. At this stage, it's not going to fuel your brain. It's not going to bring your marks up, you know, too high by changing your diet, but certainly by eating well, you can just help the student to kind of manage the stress.
And it's not a time when you want to be arguing with them about what they're eating and so on.
Definitely not. And I think that's what we can do is kind of just stock up the cupboard with the sort of high energy, nutritious foods, have the fridge well stocked, you know, whatever their favorite meals are, we'll all try and probably, you know, make sure that when they come home from an exam, they can have something nutritious before they go and study for the next day or whatever. So it is a matter of kind of remembering that our brain uses glucose as a fuel. So that really is from carbohydrate foods that we eat. So our brain is quite a small organ in relation to the amount of energy it uses. It can use up about 20% of our daily requirements. So, you know, we need to remember that that comes from glucose, which is carbohydrates. So for breakfast and lunch and dinner and snacks, keep an idea of some of the carbohydrate-rich foods in their wholemeal breads, you know, a high-fibre cereal, maybe porridge in the morning. They have a slow release of energy to keep the student going. Protein foods are great as well, and they can help to stave off kind of hunger pangs. So for breakfast, if you like eggs, it's a really good idea to have a poached egg on toast before an exam. Now, some students have that nervous stomach
in
the morning.
Mightn't be easy for them to eat breakfast.
But
it's important to try.
So maybe have some kind of snacking foods, even if they have a banana, a sliced banana and a little bit of toast before they go. You know, don't be making a big deal about it. But again, it is a good idea to have something which is going to help their concentration levels.
Or maybe a nice bircher, if you can make that the night before with the porridge and the and the yogurt and berries.
And it's kind of ready to go.
And you can take it with you then.
Yeah, exactly. And also the older students now, you know, so we're talking about for the exams, the school exams, the third years and the sixth years. So they're kind of teenagers. They probably, you know, might be used to getting their meals ready themselves for lunch or whatever. So it is about just kind of nutrition. The idea of relying on kind of endless cups of coffee, chocolate biscuits, you know, snacking on crisps, that's not going to give them the kind of sustainable energy. If you think of these exams as a marathon and not a sprint, you know, they go right up until, I think, the 28th of June. So there's quite a long period. Some students might be finished quite early. You know, all their subjects are kind of together at the start. Others are going right throughout the kind of 3 week period. So, you know, to remember that it's a matter of keeping them well nourished, well sustained. It's not a time to start going on diets. It's not a time to, you know, be trying a whole load of different foods, but keep it simple. Scrambled eggs on toast, poached eggs, they're really good. Even for lunchtime, if they come home, they can be ready quickly. Bowls of soup, you know, salads, maybe a baked potato. They can be prepared easily enough, you know, even in the microwave rather than waiting for it to cook in the oven. Tuna fish is quite popular as well, kind of tuna wrap, or those kinds of things are high in protein and high in nutrition.
Because I remember when I was doing my exams, I felt like I had my leaving cert. I felt I had permission to eat rubbish. You know, I felt I need to eat a Mars bar now because I have to get through the next four hours
and
of study.
And the odd Mars bar as well is not going to do the students any harm, but it is a matter of kind of, you know, for snacking in the evening time if they're studying, you know, nuts and fruit mixes, maybe yogurt chopped up, you know, with some fruit chopped up with yogurt on top, or maybe kind of granola and yogurt mix kind of will give them energy, but will also give them some nutrition. So again, and we always speak here kind of when I'm chatting to you, Claire, about having a look at the meal and seeing, is there nutrition in there? Because if you go down the road of sort of, you know, bars and high energy drinks because they're convenient and they're handy, you may end up, you know, kind of with too much caffeine, too much sugar and not enough nutrition that's actually going to sustain the students.
So then are you looking at a spike And a slump.
And a slump, exactly, exactly. And I mean, we all know that sort of feeling of, you know, just kind of getting an energy rush from something that's quite high in sugar, but then almost feeling like you're going to fall asleep afterwards. And that's not the feeling you want to get if you have to go in and sit down for a 2.5 or 3 hour paper and trying to bring back all of this information.
So be really careful at, you know, causing that sort of reaction.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, the idea is, you know, there's a lot of talk about sort of, you know, energy drinks and late night studying and studying into the night. You know, I think as well, the students themselves will know at this stage, yes, they can certainly remember things and revising, but, you know, the late nights are not going to do them any good. So kind of staying up till 3 in the morning, you know, on endless cups of coffee the day before an exam is probably not the way to go. So
you mentioned energy drinks a couple of times there, and they're really popular, aren't they? I mean, you see lots of even young children and teenagers and adults reaching for caffeine-laden energy drinks.
And so they're a relatively new product.
They are.
They weren't around a number of years ago and they're growing year on year.
And you've got sugar in there and you've got caffeine in there.
Yes, yeah. And it's actually hard to keep on top of the whole range of them that are out there. You know, if I do go and look at them for, you know, something I'm writing or a piece that I'm doing, I kind of see new ones all the time. So you have to kind of really read the label. You have to put the glasses on because it's so small what's, you know, on the back of those labels. But they are very high in sugar. So the really what they are, they're marketed as kind of, they're very cool labels, cool colours. They often are associated with kind of endurance sports and kind of, you know, risky kind of sports and activities. So they do certainly appeal to the teenage boys, probably more so than the girls. But when you actually kind of look at the labels and kind of delve down into what's in them, they're just a very sugary drink, so not a good idea for dental health. So dentists would be saying these are a definite no-no. But also the caffeine content. Now, again, there have been some reformulations, but some of them that I've looked at could have, you know, up to the similar to 2 espresso coffees. So, you know, you are not going to give your child, caffeine is a stimulant. So it's the caffeine in them that gives that stimulant effect, that people do sort of feel a buzz almost after they drink these drinks.
Well, people can see them. They know the ones we're talking about. Yeah. Like it started probably with Red Bull and they're still out there. But you have Monster and there's different iterations of Monster, Rockstar Endurance, Energize Edge, Tiger and Lucozade, of course, people will be familiar with that one as well. But I have a table here in front of me of the sugar and caffeine content in these. So Rockstar Endurance, that's coming top of the tree here.
Yeah, and also if you look at the volume of the cans. So again, you know, we're used to seeing the size of a can of a soft drink is 330 mils. So an average can of, you know, a Club Orange or a Coca-Cola is 330 mils. But some of these cans are up to 500, 440, 500 mils. So that's half a litre. Now, these are not drinks that people share. You know, you don't pour them into a glass. You're drinking the whole thing. So once you pop open that can,
it's yours.
It's yours. And you're drinking that full amount.
So down the gullet.
Yeah, the 17 teaspoons of sugar, you know, that's a huge amount of sugar. So that's, yes, that's going to give you like a lot of energy and you can burn that off if you're running marathons or whatever. But remember, our average energy intake in Ireland in terms of sugar, our average added sugar intake is about 14 teaspoons a day at the moment, but we should be down at about 7. So this one drink contains 17. So that's kind of nearly 3 days recommended what we should be getting in added sugars. Now, sugars, obviously, we're not counting things like the sugar that naturally occurs in fruit and yogurt and milk. They are intrinsic. They're sugars that are part of the food. It's the added sugars we need to keep an eye on. So these drinks are very high in added sugars. That's one reason why they are not something you'd recommend. You're much better off, you know, going for the raisins, fresh fruit. In terms of sustaining energy levels, bananas, you know, things like making even a hot chocolate is going to have a little bit of caffeine. Caffeine naturally occurs as well in tea and in obviously coffee, unless you're drinking decaffeinated hot chocolate. But again, it's very small amounts, down around 10 milligrams. Mm-hmm. Some of these have equivalent of 80 milligrams of caffeine, which is equivalent to 1 espresso or up to twice that. So
yeah, the Monster drinks have twice that and they have 14 teaspoons of sugar.
Yeah.
Then you have the Red Bull, which has 7 teaspoons of sugar, Lucozade Energy, 4 teaspoons of sugar. So it's just know what you're consuming.
And also a
really
lot of these drinks are, now again, we're not talking about the exam students during the exams. I imagine that they're not going out. They're kind of hard at work. But a lot of these drinks are used as mixers with alcohol. And we know that alcohol is a depressant and these drinks are stimulants because of the high amount of caffeine. So what a lot of research has suggested is that if you're mixing the alcohol with the energy drinks, the caffeine almost is, you know, kind of covering up the sort of the sleepiness effect. So if you're drinking a lot on a night out, you feel quite tired and you probably stop and you go home. Whereas if you're drinking the energy drinks with it, the caffeine is then giving you this feeling that you can keep going. So you therefore tend, there is research that shows that people who are mixing the energy drinks with the alcohol will keep drinking for longer and get into more risky and more hazardous situations.
Okay.
So, you know, that's another side of them as well. So they're definitely not something that you need in your diet. Okay. You don't need to stock up on these for exam students. In fact, I would say steer clear.
Do you know some people drink them and they don't just have one? They might have a few and they might have a few every day.
Yeah, so that's definitely not a good idea. Caffeine is a stimulant, quite a powerful stimulant, and certainly for children, there isn't a recommendation of the amount, but we don't give our children cups of coffee. So similarly, we shouldn't be, you know, giving these drinks to children. A number of years ago, one of the retailers did come out with a voluntary code that they weren't going to sell them to under 16s because they're not recommended for children under 16. But the situation at the moment is it's kind of voluntary. And as far as I can see, I think you can just buy them in most of the shops. There doesn't seem to be any sort of barrier to purchasing them.
Mm-hmm. So the NHS in the UK has published a list of risks associated with energy drink abuse and addiction.
Yes. Yeah. And again, that really is based on the caffeine levels. So it's the amount of sugar obviously is not good for your overall energy balance and your risk of getting too many calories, obesity, and poor dental health with all of that sugar. You know, if you're drinking a lot of those every day, your teeth are coming under constant sugary attack. But also they do mention the use and dependence on other harmful substances. So it is that constant kind of buzz that would be, you know, would result from the overuse of these drinks. So I think it can't be stated enough. There's no nutritional benefit, you know, for teenagers or children having these drinks. They're much better off to, you know, if they want to have a sugary drink, have that, enjoy it. But the ones that have added caffeine, you just need to be careful and you need to look at the label, because some of them, the volume of them is very large and there's a lot of caffeine in there and they're not really designed for children.
But it is important that students stay hydrated. So back to the plain water.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I think now, you know, anybody who's weaning their children, get them to drink water very early on. It makes it so much easier then later, because, you know, water, it can't compete with taste with some of these sugary drinks. So the earlier that you get your children to just drink water to rehydrate, the better. And then I think now actually children are better at drinking water than maybe they were before. You know, it now seems to be the norm. Milk and water are the best drinks for young children, and really for teenagers is probably the same, you know. So just drinking water, maybe have a water bottle on the desk and keep an eye on it and drink that while you're studying, because dehydration can definitely affect concentration levels and performance in exams.
So the advice then is to stock up the fridge and the cupboards at home with good, healthy food that they can pick away at over the next 3 weeks.
3 weeks. And best of luck to my daughter Laura, who's doing her leaving cert, and all her friends and everybody who's facing it. It's going to be it'll be great when it's all over.
It will. It's not an easy time, but look, it'll pass and life goes on.
Exactly.
Louise, thank you so much. And coming up next on the programme, we're going to be giving you a list of jobs to do. The weather's really good. Because the exams are on, the weather's really good, but you have jobs to do in the garden. So Dermot and Mari will be with us to tell us what exactly we have to knuckle down and get done in the coming weeks. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.